You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the gym class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, our producer Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important part of the equation. Thank you for tuning in today. And as always, we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website, dupaco.com. Good show for you. We'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six, your chance to win a $30 gift card courtesy of Emil's Hideaway. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up in just a little bit as the panel will get together, and then four of our lucky listeners will hitch their wagon up to one of the prognosticators, and whoever has the best week, that listener attached to that picker will get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. We will try to take down Mark, who is on a heater right now. If you can call 2-4 with a tiebreak kick a heater, that is what he is on. That was last week's results. Text line available to you, 319-366-1600. Phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you on this Friday. That also at 319-366-1600. As we come your way here in 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. As I have a feeling, we're going to talk a little college hoops today. We'll also preview the weekend in the National Football League. And, of course, I think what may be the greatest traditional college sporting event coming up tomorrow, and we'll have it for you right here on KGYM, is Army meets Navy. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this cool, damp day.
Brr. Yeah,
and it's not even cold yet.
No, it looks 10 degrees colder than it is. It's not horrible outside, but yeah, just, yeah. As Cyclone fans are probably looking at this and saying, yeah, this is the way it should be. In fact, Cyclone Tim sending us a picture of his young one crying and saying it's a sad day today. But yeah, Hawkeye fans probably feeling like it's sunny and 55 without a wind right now outside, or maybe even warmer than that. Going to get to Iowa and Iowa State from last night coming up for you here momentarily on this Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. As I mentioned, we have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you, and Dave and Spencer will join Mark and I coming up in just a little bit. Let's go back to last night, Mark, at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I don't think anybody saw coming down the line what was going to transpire between Iowa and Iowa State. Yeah, there was obviously a possibility that Iowa was going to win the game, but by the method that they won last night, I don't see anybody predicting that, especially when you heard the news just ahead of 6 o'clock that Chris Murray was not going to play. He's still in the walking boot, was there last night, was in the walking boot. His status still very much up in the air. In fact, I do not believe we're going to see Chris Murray on Sunday. From just the comments that Fran McCaffrey made after his 500th career coaching victory. So congratulations to Fran.
Yeah, neither one of us hit it on the head during our predictions. I picked Iowa State outright, Murray or no Murray. And you kind of
was on the hedging fence.
Hedging fence.
But I said 65, and Iowa got over it.
Nevertheless, Iowa did come away with a 19-point victory, and quite unlikely. Iowa State laid an egg. I mean, when you get down 15-0, 20-2, that's just even though there's a lot of game left, it seemed insurmountable at that time. And you have to credit Fran McCaffrey and his staff and the players for regrouping. Excuse me, after losing at Duke, getting home at 5 o'clock in the morning, and getting back after it. I thought it played with a lot of energy and passion. Not that Iowa State didn't, but I think Iowa had more of that. And, you know, it was a very impressive performance. After not shooting it well at Duke, Iowa made 12 out of 23 three-point field goals, and Perkins made a couple early to set the tone. Iowa State, meanwhile, 3 out of 22. I mean, that's their game. They've got to hit from long range, and it was a dry spot last night for Iowa State.
To be honest,
is this the end of the world? No. Iowa State's going to knock off some people and make some noise in the Big 12, but it was a clunker last night.
It was, and I think you give Iowa all the credit. Iowa came out, and for whatever reason, and, you know, when Iowa State beats Iowa, seems like Iowa fans say, oh, it's the game of the year for them. And when Iowa beats Iowa State, the Iowa State people come out and say, well, it's the game, Super Bowl for Iowa each and every year. Iowa needed that game. Iowa needed that game, especially after a very subpar performance against Duke. Now, we know Chris Murray wasn't 100% in that game. It's not an excuse. That's just the way it is. Iowa did not shoot it very well. To be honest with you, that was not it was never a game last night. Like you said, it was 15 to nothing, 20 to 2, and, you know, you hate to put this, you know, narrative together, but, you know, the Iowa State offense, Iowa State is not in the top 25 because of their offensive prowess. Let's just put it that way. Yes, they've had Gabe Kalscher step up. They had Caleb Grill step up against North Carolina. But this is not a team that's going to go out and get down 20 and offensively they're going to outscore you for the rest of the game. This is a game. This is a team that just battens the hatches down defensively, and they make you turn the ball over with their length and the way they strategize things. And Iowa came out with a, you know what you have to do against Iowa State? You can't always execute it. Iowa executed. Iowa State is going to, they're going to double off the first pass with bigs. And if you pick up the ball, if you don't leave yourself an escape route, et cetera, they're going to capitalize on it all day. They did force more turnovers than Iowa usually has. But Iowa did a tremendous job, just tremendous job of either dribbling or throwing out of the traps. And then away from the ball, and a lot of people probably don't notice this a whole bunch, but weak side offensive rotation. You got to have that against Iowa State or teams that do what Iowa State does defensively. Iowa did that last night, found three-point shooters that were open, and they knocked them down.
Yeah, and the one thing that you mentioned yesterday, I think had a factor in this thing, and it was Iowa State's first true road game of the year. I thought Lipsey and Robert Jones were the shining lights for Iowa State. Lipsey, the freshman, had 11 points and five assists. But by and large, his team did not shoot it well, especially from three. On the Iowa side of things, I can't say enough about Philip Rabracha and Connor McCaffrey.
Just tremendous.
Rabracha looks like a different player. 22 and 11 last night. Connor McCaffrey in 35 minutes, 14 points, 4 assists, no turnovers. I mean, you replace, and Connor did replace Chris Murray in the starting lineup. And it's great to have a veteran like that who can come in and deliver. And McCaffrey's been really good.
Very, very good. 319-366-1600, your thoughts about the Iowa 75-56 win over Iowa State last night. A game that saw Iowa State only shoot 3 of 22. They're not, statistically and percentage-wise, they are not a great three-point shooting club. They are a streaky three-point shooting club. But 3 for 22 is not going to get things done. Iowa with 15 out of 19 from the free throw line, so they got there. Iowa State did not get to the free throw line. But you take a look at the 12 of 23, 52% three-point shooting. You're not going to lose many games when you shoot over 50% from three-point land. And that certainly was the case. Peyton Sanford hit a three. I think that was good for the old psyche, especially after a really horribly bad free throw miss on his first free throw of the night. Rabracha hit a couple of threes. Connor McCaffrey hit his first couple of threes in the ball game. Patrick McCaffrey hit a three. Perkins did a lot of good things. Just a lot of things. A lot of things went well for Iowa, and when you fall down on the road in your first big road test by double digits, have to call a timeout, and you know are behind the eight ball right away, things aren't going to go well for you.
Yeah, in terms of the threes, six different Iowa players made three-point shots, and you don't see that just every day, and more of that similar or same needs to continue for this Hawkeye team. And hats off to Fran McCaffrey. And he likes to downplay, you know, his personal accomplishments, as a lot of coaches do. But 500 is a big number. And it's a testament to his longevity and winning consistently at various places, including Iowa. That's not easy, especially these days. But there was quite a celebration in the Iowa locker room. Fran McCaffrey had to change clothes because he was showered with water by players and other personnel in the locker room, and he deserved it.
319-366-1600. That's the text line. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, 319-366-1600. 0945 saying that was the best defense that Iowa has played all year, and it was really, really solid. Now, again, Iowa State, a couple things. One, you mentioned earlier on when we were talking today that Iowa doesn't necessarily have to turn you over on the three-quarter court pressure and the full court pressure, but use up 8 seconds. And a team that is not known for their offense, when you have a 35-second clock, you suddenly turn it to a 24 or 25-second clock, then you hurry the offense a little bit. And I thought that was a good move by Iowa last night. Iowa State didn't get a lot of good looks. Oshunoshunani got into foul trouble early on, was never a factor as far as the game. Like you said, Iowa State got a lot better play, I thought, from Jones. Well, that was pretty impressive last night. Iowa State's got a couple of good bigs. But they need somebody to shoot. Grill was non-existent. Jazz Coons looked like he was scared to death last night. And I'm with you. Like we said yesterday, I thought, in retrospect, I think if T.J. Otzelberger had to do it all over again, he would try to find maybe a road game of some ilk. Before going to Iowa City. I know Fran McCaffrey usually does that. I think it'd be a good idea if Iowa State looked at that in a couple years.
Yeah, being in Oregon at a neutral court, that's not the same as going to Carver Hawkeye Arena and in front of Caden McNamara and 14,000 friends. There were some Iowa State fans there.
Yes.
You texted me that, yeah.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was, boy, I dare say, of the crowd there, and a good crowd last night, you know, if I didn't see the final attendance figure, what it was. Did you see it last night, Mark?
I'm going to get it.
Okay. I would say probably 18%, maybe even upwards of 20% were Cyclone fans last night. There was a lot of red at Carver Hawkeye Arena last night.
14,535.
I'd say at least a couple thousand were Cyclone fans last night. And they let their presence be known.
You could hear them.
Yeah, they let their presence be known in the game last night. So, wasn't, you know, that helped out a little bit. But you just did not see that moxie that Iowa State usually has. And when Iowa got out of the first couple of traps, and Iowa State does a tremendous job getting their bigs out there, getting guys like Kuntz at 6'8" and whatnot out there on guards and trying to create some havoc like they did against North Carolina and Villanova. Could not do it last night, though, in Iowa City. Couple of texts to get to. Jeff on the text line, total team win. Thought the Hawks were a half a step quicker. I would agree. I would agree last night. 8077 says the ball movement was excellent from Iowa. Everyone in Iowa's team has the green light every possession. That's why they love to play for Fran. And I think, yes, Chris Murray did not play, and Iowa misses Chris Murray. Obviously, there's no doubt about that. But the sum of your parts sometimes is better than one singular player. And everybody that came in last night, from Philip Rabracha all the way to Josh Dix, who had some good minutes off the bench last night for Iowa, got in. Ogundele in the first half had some good minutes as well. And everybody knew their role. Everybody, dare I say, did their job.
Some kind of appeared to play freer without Murray on the floor. Now, you want Chris Murray on the floor.
Correct.
I'm not saying that. But it almost seems as such. So Iowa State still stands 7-2 and has built a good resume so far. Now it has a series of
cupcakes.
Three games at home, McNeese State, Western Michigan, and Nebraska Omaha before getting back into Big 12 play on New Year's Eve against Baylor at Hillingdon.
319-366-1600. Well, Iowa turns around and opens the Big Ten coming up on Sunday evening when they will host the Wisconsin Badgers, more than likely without Chris Murray. That's a 5:30 tip-off from Carver Hawkeye Arena. And yes, Matt in Fairfax, Rabracha again was good. He's been a blessing this season for Iowa. About the only thing you could say for Iowa that was on the negative side, a couple of them, a few too many turnovers. Aaron Ulis took it into double teams way too often last night. And then that Iowa seemed to run out of steam with about 6 minutes left in the second half.
Got sloppy.
Got sloppy, got stagnant, got tired. But Iowa had a 20-point lead plus at that point. And then Philip Rabracha hit a big three. That was the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last gasp that Iowa State had was extinguished when that happened, with Rabracha hitting it right in front of Fran McCaffrey there along the sideline. 319-366-1600. I would have liked to have seen Iowa get a few more guys in. They played six, basically, in the second half last night, and that's something that Fran has done in the past. Did then when Iowa State was going on that run, Fran did get a couple of more subs in, got Josh Dix in once again, and cannot recall who the other one was.
Dix played 10 minutes, Ogundele a little less than three, and Asante Bowen a little less than three.
Yeah.
That was the bench, aside from Sanford.
Correct. Yeah, Peyton Sanford was the sixth guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the sixth guy out there for the Hawks in the second half last night. The refs kept bully ball out of the game. I thought it was a really well-officiated game because it's tough to officiate when you got a team that likes to do what Iowa State does. It's very, very tough. And I thought they let it play a little bit, but they called some of the, two hands on you. And Iowa State's got, and T.J. Otzelberger said it after the game that, we teach our guys to be physical, to be handsy, to get under the skin of the opponent. And I thought Iowa did a really good job of avoiding that. Obviously, let the officials know that sometimes that happened. And, hey, Iowa had a call against them with the same thing, with Ogundele on an inbounds pass after he was warned not to put his hands on the Iowa State player. And they got him for a foul right there. But I thought it was really – really well officiated game last night.
Yeah, I thought so too. When you don't speak about the officials or don't notice them, that means they're doing a good job. It's a tough game to officiate anyway.
Oh, it's so tough. Because if you have a whistle that's too quick and the home crowd's on you, if you don't call it, then the team that likes to press, likes to double, likes to trap, they're going to get under your skin a little bit. So it's tough.
20 fouls for Iowa State, 12 for Iowa. And what, a handful of those 20 fouls for Iowa State were out on the perimeter. They were putting hands on the guards, and the officials called it.
Now, they did get Big O inside for Iowa State. He did get into foul trouble right away, and I don't think that helped the cause as far as the Cyclones are concerned. And when Iowa wasn't hitting threes, they did get to the rim a little bit and set up Rabracha on the inside. 1553 asking what's wrong with Murray again. Lower body injury is the official designation. Now, he is in a walking boot, so that would tell you I'm not a doctor. I do not play one on TV nor on the radio, but I would think that it's some sort of a ankle injury, foot injury, lower leg injury.
Fran McCaffrey said he planned to start the same starting lineup against Wisconsin as he did against Iowa State, and going to leave it up to the doctors and trainers to decide when Chris Murray is going to hit the court again.
My guess is he is not going to play on Sunday.
And after Sunday, Iowa plays a couple, Southeast Missouri State and someone else, before getting back into Big Ten play against Nebraska. So there's some time here. We'll see what transpires.
Yeah, certainly will. 319-366-1600 here in the Gym Class program. As we come your way on this Friday, we will have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll also get you look at the NFL weekend, talk about Army and Navy and more. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. But I want to throw it over to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for now. And it's brought to you by our good friends at Emil's Hideaway. Online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock each day. They're located across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
The Football Writers Association of America has named its All-America teams. Linebacker Jack Campbell and punter Torrey Taylor from Iowa, both first team. There's some debate about at punter. I know
punting debate this year is huge.
Adam Korsak from Rutgers is really good. And, I mean, Taylor didn't even make the semifinals of the Ray Guy Award, but he is first team All-America by Football Writers.
Is he first team Australian, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, one of the biggest cheers last night was for Cade McNamara.
I believe it.
Who brought along his friend, the tight end from Michigan as well.
Oh, yeah. Postseason continues in other divisions of the NCAA. In Division III, Wartburg wants to continue its run tomorrow at Mount Union, number 2 rank, and traditional power Mount Union, that game at noon in Ohio. And in the FCS playoffs, a couple semifinals tonight. North Dakota State, led by former Solon star Cam Miller at quarterback, takes on Samford in one semifinal. Samford with one loss, North Dakota State with two. The Bison lost at Arizona and to South Dakota State, but still very formidable.
That they are. Actually, there are three games tonight. Three. William & Mary.
Three FCS. William & Mary's at
Montana State.
Yeah.
Snow expected, by the way.
Nice.
That's beautiful. And Incarnate Word and Sacramento State.
Uh-huh.
We'll go at it tonight. Late night as well. The North Dakota State game, by the way, is the first of two. That is on ESPN2 tonight. So if you want to see...
That's good football, folks.
Yeah, it is. There are a lot of pros coming out of the FCS level. So don't forget about those fine athletes out there and a chance to see Mr. Miller on a national stage. That would be pretty cool. All right, 3:28. We're going to take a look at the weather forecast and come back. We'll have more for you. We'll talk about Army-Navy. We'll talk about the NFL weekend as well. Keep the text coming at 319-366-1600. And thank you very much for that. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by Dupaco Community Credit Union. We'll be back right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And the clouds are going to be sticking around as we head through the day today. It is going to be breezy and cool with temperatures in the mid-30s. As we head into tonight, we are going to have cloudy skies. Temperatures drop down into the low 30s. Tomorrow, we'll have some clouds, fog, and perhaps some drizzle. Temperatures are going to be near 40 degrees, and we'll keep the clouds around with temperatures in the low 40s on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Help make the holidays extra bright for a local family in need by donating a gift or volunteering for Waypoint Wonderland, supporting over 500 children and their families each year. New toys, books, games, household items, and monetary donations are welcome.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
The bank here is now the bank here, here, and here. Fairfax State Savings Bank has a new third location in the heart of Kingston Village in Cedar Rapids. This new location, focused on commercial and private lending, demonstrates Fairfax State Savings Bank's dedication to growing alongside you in the corridor. Fairfax State Savings Bank, in Fairfax, Amana, and now by appointment for commercial and private lending in Cedar Rapids at their new Kingston office, Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Back with you on the gym class, 3:32 here at KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Do appreciate it. We're going to have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you coming up in just a little bit. We'll take a look at the NFL slate for the weekend as well. And we buried the lead, Mark, today.
Not surprising.
For the MTV generation out there, 35 years ago today, you know where you were. That was in, and now you will not get this. But for me,
this is 35 years ago.
Yes, being in school,
late '80s,
being in college, 1987, and MTV back when they played music. Everybody, 35 years ago today, the greatest game show ever premiered, MTV's Remote Control. That launched the careers of Adam Sandler, Colin Quinn. I think Tawny Kitaen was on that. The late, great Ken Ober. Check it out. Ahead of its time.
I have to trust you on that. When you talk about the greatest game shows ever, and it's not really a game show, but the Gong Show.
The Gong Show was really good, too. So was Card Sharks. Very underrated. I don't want to get the text line going.
That match game with Charles Nelson Riley.
Match game.
Richard Dawson half in the tank.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No 1553. We have not talked about the match yet. That's tomorrow, correct? 12 holes?
It is tomorrow, yeah.
12 holes with Tiger and Jay. Is it Tiger and
McElroy?
Rory against JT and Spieth under the lights, and they're going to go 12. I don't know if the lights are going to take hold. I don't have a clue, but they're going to play 12 holes.
I play golf in the dark most of the time. So.
And 0945, it's a huge factor that Iowa has guards that stick their nose in and rebound. Yes, definitely helped. Perkins was really, really tough and solid in that game last night. 334, a few minutes here. Tomorrow we will have Army-Navy for you, the annual clash between the midshipmen and the black, or the cadets, and we've got it for you right here in all of our frequencies on KGYM coming up tomorrow. I always look forward to this, Mark, and like I said at the outset of the show, this, we look down 20 years from now, this may be the only college football tradition left, and I hope it never goes away. And what makes it great is not only the tradition, the pageantry, the nostalgia. Now you can add the fact that these are two teams not worried about million-dollar NIL contracts. Most of them transfer portal. You're not going to talk about tomorrow with Army and Navy. And just watching the two corps march in, and then afterwards you sing the alma mater of the winner first. I mean, it is just an absolute – absolute gem to watch, and I cannot wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, and pretty evenly matched as well. We'll pick that game on the Emo's Hideaway pick six, but I couldn't agree with you more. Philadelphia, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Let me double check on that.
But at any rate, they, you know, it's the pageantry itself is worth the watch, and you don't have much choice. It's only FBS game in the country tomorrow.
That's the only one. It is a big one. Yes. Army-Navy coming up tomorrow, and I'm seeing everything but where it's at.
Lincoln Financial Field.
All right, so it is in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got the game for you, as you mentioned, coming up tomorrow, and really looking forward to it, as I mentioned. 319-366-1600. The NFL slate coming up for the weekend got started last night with the Raiders. Oh my goodness. 16-3 midway through the fourth. Saw that on my phone, looked it up on the phone, seeing how the Raiders were doing, being a AFC West guy. Oh, they're going to win this thing. No. Who goes out first, Hackett or McDaniel? Gets fired first.
I don't know. It's been a free fall for the Rams, but that might have been a saver last night. God, the Raiders got all kinds of talent.
They have so much talent. So much talent.
Carr is a very good quarterback.
Devontae
Josh Jacobs.
Adams.
Yeah. Didn't get the ball to him enough.
No.
But, yeah, and to believe that Baker Mayfield could come in 48 hours of prep time and do what he did, I mean,
crazy.
It's a great catch. I don't know how great a throw it was, but he's getting credit for a lot of it.
A few interesting games coming up this weekend. Ravens-Steelers in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's suddenly starting to play a little bit better. I got an eye on Minnesota and Detroit this weekend.
Of course.
Not only because I got two Lions in my fantasy team, but can the Vikings squeak out another one? We're going to pick that one coming up, Mark. Jets-Bills from Buffalo. Think's going to be a good one, as well as the Eagles and the Giants are going to play. That will be at MetLife coming up on Sunday.
Niners hosting Tom Brady with Brock Purdy at the helm. Brock Purdy was born when Tom Brady was ending his career at Michigan.
Does Purdy Mania continue this week?
It's going to be fun.
Folks, they have film on him now. And I'm hoping the best for Brock. I really am. And the San Francisco 49ers. I think right now they are the team to beat in the NFC. That was when they had Garoppolo. I don't know if that's going to be the same with Brock Purdy, but we'll see.
It's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be fun. Going to be fun to watch. So, and then coming up tomorrow night, or no, excuse me, Sunday night football, flexed in Dolphins and the Chargers from SoFi. And then Monday night, we will join Patriots and Cardinals. Pat's in a must-win situation, and the Cliff Kingsbury watch is officially on as far as Arizona is concerned.
Apparently the Belichick watch is on.
Oh, come on.
Some folks out there say maybe it's time to get rid of good old Bill. Yeah, right.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, assemble the panel, and pick some games. Give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. Stay tuned. We got that around the corner for you right here on KGYM.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
It's almost that time of year again.
What time is that, Clayton?
Christmas time, you silly goose.
It's our Love Local Sale.
You got it, Joe. We have fantastic deals on everything, from diamond studs to engagement rings.
Are we still giving away those big TVs?
You bet your sweet bippy.
We got 65-inch TVs, Apple AirPods, Nelson Meat Market gift cards, and more. Till Christmas, it's our Love Local Sale.
Come see us at Siepke Hoyt Jewelers on the corner of Collins Road and First Ave. Siepke Hoyt Jewelers, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Back with you in the gym class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. If you would like to give us a text like 6429. Yes, we got to get this in because it deals with remote control. Great show, Kari. Kari Wuhrer, by the way, on remote control, went on to a fine career in B-movies. Hey, wouldn't be B-movies without those B-actors and actresses. There you go. All right, debuting 35 years ago today. And no, I asked Spencer. He does not know what remote control is.
What are you even talking about? You're remembering some TV shows?
Go back in the office when you got a second.
Okay,
and Google.
I'll pull the podcast.
There you go.
I was 30 or so, and I don't remember the damn thing.
It was 3 years before I was born, so I
think our next guest maybe remembers. I don't know.
Does Dave remember remote control, the game show on MTV? You were watching MTV in the 80s, right, Dave?
I have to say no.
3-1.
Well, I was a college whippersnapper back then, so, you know, that was right up our alley right there. All right, we're not going to talk about remote control. We're going to talk about making picks here with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. And it is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from Lindale Mall. Next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's, open at 4 o'clock, online at emilsideaway.com, and try the Cuban sandwich. It's really good. Mark?
Well, because there is a lull on college football this week, we are going to pick a series of NFL games and that Army-Navy game. And on the season, Scott holds a 2-game lead over Spencer and Dave and a 3-game lead over myself, although yours truly has won 3 in a row.
You're on a heater. Now, 2-4 last week. Can we really say?
Did you really win? You won, but you lost.
By default.
Yeah.
By default. But at any rate, I will be leading off the picks, and game one is in the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings, 2-point underdogs at the Lions. I love this Lions team. I really do. But the Vikings are 9-0 in one-score games. And, oh, boy. I'm going to go ahead and go Minnesota and say this is, the Lions aren't quite ready for this type of game.
Ooh.
I'll be wrong.
Jared Goff. Worse than the Cal Jared Goff.
This is one of the most interesting lines of the week, as the 10-2 Vikings opened as a small road favorite. But the line has now moved to to the Lions being favored. The Lions have been a good team to back the past two seasons, mostly as an underdog. They were 11-6 against the spread last year, despite a 3-13-1 straight-up record. And they are 8-4 against the spread this year, including 5 covers in a row. The Vikings are 9-0 in one-score games this season, but give me the Lions to win and cover.
Ooh, to win and cover.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Oh.
Spencer.
Dan Campbell.
I said earlier this week I feel more confident picking these NFL games than I do any of the college games remaining on the schedule, so that might be a sign of how badly things have gone.
Oh, wait till the bowl season starts.
Yeah, it's getting worse than the regular season. The Vikings are the kings of one-score wins. I think they get a one-score win, so I'll take the Vikings to win and cover. I can't bring myself to say school Vikes because I will start speaking in tongues.
Me too. I'll join you on that. Yeah,
but I'll take the Vikings to win and cover.
Yes, I don't want self-combustion in here. Being the only non-NFC North guy here, I don't know, maybe I'm skewed or something like this, but I'm with Martin. Detroit's fun, and I think the streak is going to come to an end for Minnesota winning all these close games. I'm riding the Detroit Lions, man. So, Dave and I, we love Dan Campbell. Jared Goff.
Game two, and Dave, you are batting leadoff. It is the Eagles, favored by 7 at the New York Football Giants.
The Eagles are 11-1 and still have the NFL's best record and the inside track on the NFC's number one seed and first round bye. Philadelphia has the number 3 offense and the number 2 defense in yards gained and yards allowed per game. The Giants have exceeded expectations all year and are 9-3 against the spread, 5-2 against the spread at home. Giants getting 7 here makes them a live home dog, and the NFL teams in that scenario are 40-29-4 against the spread. That's 58%, including 7-1 when getting 7 or more points. Give me the Giants and the points here to cover.
Spencer.
Tough one to pick. The Giants have hit a skid here recently. The Eagles have been playing really well. They've escaped in some games, including that one about against the Colts a couple weeks back. They lost to the Commanders of all teams for their one loss of the season. I think the Eagles are just a better team here, so I'm going to take them to win and cover the spread.
Scott.
Just don't know if the Giants' offense can hang. Good defense, but man alive. The Eagles are very, very explosive. And this tends to make you a very poor man if you start in the NFL, following teams and putting money on teams. I don't encourage that. By the way, you do that on your own, but I'm taking Philadelphia and throwing the 7. Not real confident about it, but I'm doing it.
I think it's a division game and a big number. Big number in the NFL. The Eagles are really, really good. But I'm going to ride with the G-men at home and give me those 7 points. Game 3, Spencer, you are up. It's the New York Jets getting 7 points at the Buffalo Bills, and weather's supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm. The loss of Von Miller, the Bills' defense has been banged up. Micah Hyde's been out. They've had a ton of injuries. Losing Von Miller, the guy they brought in to be that piece that puts them over the hump, that I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl, and I'm regretting that pick, seeing that still not out of the realm of possibility, obviously. I think the Bills are out for revenge. They've been playing better since that 2-game losing streak to the Jets and the Vikings. I think the Bills win it by 3, so that means the Jets would cover in that game.
Scott.
So I just said don't take, huge favorites like that. Well, I'm going to do it again. I'd like to see the Jets win this thing. Love to see the Jets win this thing, but I don't think they will. I think Buffalo's going to win it going away. I'm going to take the Bills.
Mike White, he was a coach at Illinois, right?
Yeah, back in the day.
Quarterback.
See, Spencer, again, remote control, Mike White. No idea.
Like, I know Mike White, the quarterback. Remember Mike White?
Remember some guys there. Every show does it, right?
Everyone, yeah. Well, it's our thing.
It's a really big number. But I think the Bills are... I think the Bills are that good. Give me Buffalo. Throw the 7. Dave.
Buffalo has been letting teams stick around all season, and they are 5-6-1 against the spread this year. However, the Bills have one of the league's best passing games and an MVP quarterback in Josh Allen. They have a top-5 receiver in Stephon Diggs. They average the fourth most points, 8th most rushing yards, 3rd most passing yards, and 2nd most total yards per game. And they boast the league's best third down conversion percentage. Give me the Bills to win and cover.
You can find better islands than Orchard Park.
Jet Island? It doesn't sound pleasant at all.
You and Fireman Ted, or whatever his name is.
Ed.
I'm sorry, Jets fans. I'm sorry, Ryder.
Is he still there even? I thought he like quit being a fan. I thought I heard that.
I think he's back, though.
Is he? Oh.
I think he's back.
This is purely by coincidence, Chiefs fans. Scott, you are up first.
Huh.
And the Chiefs are at the Broncos, Kansas City, laying 8.5, Scott.
I ain't scared. Oldest son left today to go out there with some friends, cheer on the Chiefs. He will not be alone. I'm throwing the 8.5. I'll take the Chiefs.
Denver's not very good.
Terrible.
I'll take the Chiefs as well. Dave.
Give me Denver and the third-ranked NFL defense to keep the Broncos close and then let Russell Wilson and their struggling Denver offense do just enough to get a point spread cover. The Chiefs tend to let teams stick around as they are 4-8 against the spread this season, as well as 3-7 against the spread as chalk. Denver,
10
points.
You got it. Spencer.
I'm going to put Dave on Bronco Island. Sounds much more pleasant than Jet Island, frankly. Broncos defense is not half bad. The offense is just atrocious. And Nathaniel Hackett, I think, is going to be a one-and-done coach. So give me the Chiefs and the points.
Game 5, our last one in the NFL, finds the Tampa Bay Bucks all the way over to the other coast to face the San Francisco 49ers. Tom Brady getting 3.5 points against Brock Purdy, who I mentioned was born the year Brady was getting out of Michigan. He's won a lot of games since then.
Yeah.
But not this one. I think in San Francisco's system, Purdy or anybody else is not required to put up Joe Burrow numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a lot of weapons, good running game, good defense, and Tampa Bay, I think, is missing Wirfs.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big piece as well. So give me San Francisco to win and cover. Dave.
The Buccaneers have a tall task this week against the league's top defense. Tom Brady, as he has all season, is going to have to throw the ball a lot. For the season, the Bucs have thrown the ball 524 times while running the ball 267 times. Not a good recipe for success. They have struggled all year on offense and are the number 17th team in yards per game. The 49ers have the better team at this point, and they have Brock Purdy now at quarterback, Jimmy Crisco, and that defense to win and cover.
Spencer, can Brady pull another one out of his hat?
I don't think so. Interesting stat with this one. All-time rookie quarterbacks making their first start are 0-7 all-time versus Tom Brady. The last one was, I think, Luke Falk, if we're remembering some guys.
Oh,
Luke Falk, I'll toss that name out there.
Reaching way back from there.
That was actually only 2019. Washington State quarterback Luke Falk. Those are guys I remember, obscure quarterbacks from Pac-12 teams, apparently. I think it goes to 1-7, making Cyclone Nation's week a little bit better with Brock Purdy getting his first start and first victory as the starting quarterback. I'll take the Niners to win and cover.
You guys are not going to goad me into taking Tampa Bay without their starting tackle against that defense. San Francisco wins this thing. I'm going to have to make it a clean sweep. Purdy. Purdy fever.
Let me be the first to congratulate Tampa Bay on the comeback victory on Sunday.
Hey, I don't know how they did it last week.
The last two times we all picked the same team, that team lost.
Great.
And the Emo's Hideaway picks.
Wonderful.
All right. The last game and the tiebreaker, and Dave is batting leadoff. It is Army and Navy. We're doing it as a pick 'em. And the tiebreaker is the total number of passing yards combined for these two teams.
This is Army-Navy. It's going to be low scoring, and it's going to be close. Both teams do the same thing and run the ball. Army has stepped up their game over the second half this season. They have rushed for 300 yards in four of the last six games and hit 400 yards in two of those, winning all six of those games. In addition, Army leads the nation in yards per pass completion, averaging over 22 yards per completion. Navy hasn't allowed 100 yards rushing in any of their last four games, and they shut down Notre Dame, Cincinnati, and Central Florida in their last three games. A bad Navy team beat a great Army team 17-13 last year. The midshipmen have a better defense this season. Navy wins two in a row in another low-scoring game.
And total,
give me 130 yards.
That's combined. Yeah,
combined. That's combined.
Combined. I was like, geez, that's a lot.
Spencer.
I'm going to go Navy. I think Navy's a better team. I thought I saw Navy is a slight favorite. If you want to place a wager on this game for real, so I'll go Navy beat Army. I'm going to go low. I'm going to say like 50.
That's low.
I really have no idea. I'll say 50 just to be the low man.
That's low right there. Navy's playing better, but as a son of a father who served in the United States Army, Fort Collins, Colorado, salute, and salute to all the service folks out there, I will have to take the Black Knights of the Hudson and the Army and 101, because somebody's going to have to throw the ball in the end.
I always pick this game for the same reasons or similar reasons as Scott. As a grandson of a Navy guy who got to Pearl Harbor the day after it was bombed, I cannot go against old Grandpa. And I will take, Dave, I'm not going to shade you.
Thank you.
I could go 131, but I'm going to go 144. How about that?
There you go. There you go. All right. Thanks for the picks, Dave. Have a great weekend. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right. 319-366-1600. That is the number to call. And if you have been a contestant over the last 3 weeks, please hold off and allow some of our other great listeners to have a shot to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway in First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. And whoever hitches their wagon up to the number one prognosticator.
Just remember, I've won three in a row, but Spencer's better at picking NFL games. So fact
wouldn't
that
say
in.
Better, but...
And you're right, 4702. It's Fort Carson. I said Fort Collins. I was thinking Colorado State. It's Fort Carson. My dad was at Fort Carson in Colorado, so apologies.
All right. Is it Camp Lejeune, too, or not?
No. One out there. I've seen that commercial a lot. All right, Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
On behalf of Vivid Seats, let's get one thing clear.
There are sports fans, and then there are real sports fans. I'm talking about the know-every-player, every-play, every-score, and every-game sports fan. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, believes real fans deserve a ticketing platform that not only makes it easy to find great deals on great tickets, but also gives valuable rewards all season long.